Hi, Audio Mo, Tuffin 007 signing in for day two. Today I'm going to talk about vinyl. For those who don't know what it is, it was a medium, is a medium still, for music and voice. It is on its way back, certainly in the UK. I think it was last year it topped 2 million sales for the first time in something like 15 years. I've always been a fan. I love its sound. I love the crackles. I love the dust. I love having to clean them sometimes. I love being able to dig out randomly records from the box because I can't see. So therefore, I haven't got them labelled, or most of them aren't labelled. Somehow braille them. But most of the time, unless I know for definite where I last placed a record, because I haven't played them for so long, dig them out at random. And I just want to say a little bit about it, really. I am a presenter on a radio station and have been playing some of these old vinyl records because I had a record deck for Christmas, which was fantastic. And that's now linked into my mixer. And basically, I thought, well, let's go through a bit about the record today. So basically now, the technology is well over 100 years old. Roughly, Edison, and possibly other people around him, of course, because nothing is totally and utterly known, was the first to record the words of Mary Had a Little Lamb on a tinfoil-wrapped cylinder. Later models were made of wax, paper, and lead, which in 1881 to 86 seems to be the oldest still playable cylinder that survives. 1885, the wax cylinders were patented, and this was called a graphophone. In 1881, there were some flat platter records cut with grooves for the sound, but there existed nothing to actually play them on. 1888 saw the first usable gramophone style platter record with grooves cut on one side, a 7-inch disc, shown by Emil Berliner, and this record deck, as it was hand cranked. Berliner was then the first person to mass produce vulcanized rubber copies from a metal zinc version of the disc. 1890 saw the first coin-operated machine installed in a bar in San Francisco, where the four-cylinder machine, and it earned over $1,000 in its first 6 months of use. 1893, however, saw Berliner make more of an impact and get his company off to a start, selling 25,000 vulcanized rubber records. Then in 1896, Berliner found that shellac was actually a better medium than the vulcanized rubber. We move on to 1902, when Edison started selling 10-inch discs, which sold for $1 a piece. Expensive back then. Later in 1903, double-sided discs came into play, and later in 1903, HMV first recorded the full opera Verdi's Anani on 40 discs. Odeon then pioneered something called the album, which was a double-sided disc, and released the Nutcracker suite on 4 double-sided discs in a special package. Later in 1906, a disc with shellac outer surfaces and a paper core was introduced, which had a lower surface noise. Moving on to 1913, Edison eventually gave up his quest with cylinders and conceded to the platter style disc, something like we know today. And these discs were the first to have a plastic surface called condensate plastic, which was the first manufactured plastic that we know of, and this was adhered to a solid core, and the discs had again a lower surface noise and made for better quality. 1917, the first jazz music recording was made, and then this stimulated the recording of today's, as we know it, the blues. 1921 saw record sales decline because of popular and live radio. 1925, the publishing of a paper on loud speakers with a moving coil would later help developing sound and quality reproduction for records and obviously many other mediums that we have today. 1926 saw Bing Crosby record his first ever record using an old carbon microphone and later the newer microphones that were developed by Bell. 1925 saw the introduction of electrically recorded discs, making it more possible to record in good or pretty good quality whole orchestras. 1930 saw Albert L. Thurer's file for a patent on better loudspeaker reproduction and was granted this in 1933. Again, moving forward sound reproduction from records and radios and other formats. In 1931, EMI opened the biggest recording studio in the world in November 12th, and they employed Alan Blumlein to install his new electrical recording system and patented the binaural stereo system in England. 1933 saw the Rockola mechanism come into play for jukeboxes, where multiple records could be selected and played, and these were sold across the world to many different systems. In 1948, we then get to War of the Speeds. Columbia in June introduced the first 12-inch 33 1/3 RPM disc with a capacity of 23 minutes per side. 1949, RCA introduced the 7-inch 45 RPM microgroove extended vinylite record and player. Later in September of that year, Capitol became the first to use all three speeds, 78, 45 and 33 1/3. 1951, the war ended when Columbia and RCA sold the speeds on LPs and 45s. Going back slightly, 47 saw the introduction of rock and roll, as teenagers didn't like the standard dance music and swing. In 1949, Todd Storrs of Omaha's Co. created the Top 40 after seeing the inhabitants of a bar play the same selections over and over again. 1958 saw the introduction and world standard for stereo records or stereo LPs introduced and taken on by everybody. Hi-fi components adopted stereo and COS introduced stereo headphones. From then we move forward swiftly to cassettes, and in 1979 Sony introduced the first Walkman, and later in the 80s producing compact discs or CDs as we know them, and the Discman in 1988, onto the Datman in 91 and Minidisc in 92, and later the Digital Discmans of 1999. 80s and 83 to 88 especially, with the growth of the cassette, saw a huge decline in LP records that would be carried on by CDs all the way through to 2000. So as you can see, it was a huge medium, it became a small medium, it became almost non-existent, and most people who love vinyl today are usually called geeks or anoraks like myself, but it's on its way back because today's modern record and even those of the 70s and 80s were very, very clean formats. Yes, they were susceptible to dust and electric or static electric, so it had to be cleaned, but also when you got towards the centre of record, sometimes the tone would change slightly due to the grooves having to become smaller, and also the discs could become warped if not looked after properly. But the medium still exists and is growing again, as I said, reaching 2 million last year for the first time in 15 years here in the UK, and the disc still sounds so clean and clear, even against 192, MP3 or M4A as Apple devices use. So I'll play you a little bit of a piece from a disc right now. So firstly, I've taken the record from its plastic sleeve. I hope you can hear that. This is quite a thick disc, 180 gram vinyl disc this is, and quite a popular album, as you'll find out in a second. So here we go. Here is a very popular song that you'll know from a very popular album in the 80s. Hopefully you can hear there still. This record is now something along the lines of around 30 to 32 years old. Yes, the album is Slippery When Wet from Bon Jovi, and the song is playing is Living on a Prayer from that album. And as you can probably hear, or hopefully you can hear, it's still beautiful quality. It's still clear. It's still clean. There's a little crackle at the beginning, but that doesn't matter. As once the music is in there and started, you can't really hear that. And yes, it's a picture disc and it's been looked after by myself, so you know, looking after them does matter. I'm simply playing you that through a mixing desk that I have for the radio and through my PC speakers that are on the desk. I will finish there and play out a little bit of the song, and hopefully you've enjoyed my little very brief history of vinyl and why I still love it.